Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, June 18th, and my name is Wynn Free, and my co-host, Terry Brown. And we are on our Monday night. I still don't have a good name for this. Maybe I should
You didn't start the recorder yet, Wynn, right?
I didn't. Oh, you're right. That the producer, he's always catching.
Please enter your PIN, followed by... Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
All right. This is Monday, June 18th. My name is Wynn Free, and my co-host, Terry Brown. Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Hello, everybody.
You hear her. And, now I'm going to try renaming our show. See if it sounds good. This is a temporary rename. Welcome to Intelligent Infinity, which is the name of our website, intelligent-infinity.com. And people are checking it out. And when you hear those dings, that are people. Those are people who are coming into our conference call. We're on a conference line. And if you're listening, you could be either over the air, not over the air, it's over the internet on BBS, or you could be on our conference line. And we have a few people on our conference line today. We have Kim. Who else do we have? Who just showed up?
Nicole. Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Nicole. Nicole is in Florida. Florida, right? No, North Carolina.
No, Washington.
Washington. Washington, yeah. on the
state.
East. On Washington State. Okay.
Yes.
And anyone else? We don't have any. You know, we do three calls a week. And I have to say, the conference line people, and there are so many people that have come in every week, they started to understand that they were actually creating with us. They weren't just an audience. Now, some of you out there listening may be under the illusion that you're an audience, but you're not. You're creating with us. You are me. I am you. We are we, and we are all together. Now, the truth is that you can say that as words, but on this call, usually we move into the truth of that. And there's someone else. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, Wynn. This is Cindy in Peoria. How are you?
Hi. Cindy in Peoria. Cindy, should I say your last name on the air?
What's up? Say that again.
You know, Cindy has a daughter, and her daughter has the most unusual name of anyone I've ever heard, but maybe not the most unusual. Her daughter's name is Brooklyn, right?
Right. I think there's a few out there floating around now. You're starting to hear it more, but...
Okay. Hey, you should get in touch with me, Cindy, now that you're out of a job, okay?
I know. Let's chat.
So email me, or I'll call you or something.
Who just came on?
Who would like to say their name in the city?
This is Suzanne in Columbus.
Suzanne Reed, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Wynn.
And who else is on the line?
Daphne's here.
Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Daphne.
Nice to have you.
Thank you. I just won a Scrabble game.
Congratulations. Well,
good.
The topic of our call tonight is overcoming obstacles and limitations. And in the email that I sent out, I said that, at least as I was writing the emails, the two thoughts that came to my mind that were really important, one was... you have to identify your obstacles and your limitations. Many people don't identify them. They walk around and they carry them with them, but they don't know that they've got obstacles. They don't know it. And so the first thing is to identify them. And the second thing is to have some plan of action that can actually help you overcome them. Now, one of the things, we did get a couple questions. One of the things, those are all people coming into the line. Welcome to our call tonight. One of the things is that it's not always easy to overcome obstacles. Imagine you have the same habit pattern for 100,000 years or 500 lifetimes, and every lifetime you've been doing exactly the same pattern. And believe it or not, that's probably true for many of us. Probably true because, you know, I've had this unusual opportunity to know of myself and some of the people around me for a couple of lifetimes. And as I studied those people, it was amazing how similar they were to the way they are in this lifetime. And I didn't know that that was true, I mean, before that. But people carry very similar traits from lifetime to lifetime. And most lifetimes, I believe, are spent just trying to fulfill various worldly ambitions, you know. And that's very pervasive here. We want to be comfortable. We want to be well-to-do. We want to have a good job. We want to be respected. You know, those are all worldly things. And we keep coming back, and every time we probably rate ourselves by our ability to succeed in that. I think there's very few people that come into the world that say, when they're, you know, at a young age, my goal is to find spirit, my truth, God. And even if that is your goal, you still have to deal with all the other stuff. You still have to earn a living, have some degree of success, and be comfortable. I mean, because if you don't, you're going to be despondent. So you do have to be worldly. And, you know, we have many different levels of obstacles. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to talk about it as a group and bring in our own, some of our issues, and bring in our own wisdoms if people have had experience. And then we'll bring in our sources and we'll ask them for their counsel. Now, if you're listening to the call for the first time, and you may not be totally aware, but this call is an interactive communication between realms. And as we do what we do on the call, we have, I won't say we have, because we can't prove it, but there are voices that speak to us, and they say they're in other dimensions. And they say they have a lot of wisdom of this realm. They also say they have the ability to connect with us, just as we can feel an energy with each other when we connect with friends and people we love down here. There's an energy that we can feel from them that feels very much akin to love, feeling love, but we don't know they're there. So part of this call is to help all of us go into the reality that such a thing is possible, such a thing exists, and that we can make a connection, which does not solve all our problems. For some of us, it might be the beginning of all our problems, or a whole new set of problems. Because you know what? What happens is you solve one set of problems, and there's usually a more advanced set to come in and take their place, because you're still unfolding. So, who would like to say hello that hasn't said hello yet?
This is Greg in Washington. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Greg. And who else?
Jim calling from Cape Cod. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Jim. You heard? Did you hear
Mary
the topic?
Kentucky.
Who is that?
Mary in Kentucky.
Hi, Mary. Jim, did you hear the topic? Did you hear the topic tonight, Jim?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I'm glad you're on the phone. We really need someone on the phone that doesn't have any obstacles.
Very close to close to my heart.
It is, okay. And who else?
This is Rami in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hi, Rami, right?
Hey.
Hey, Rami.
Yeah, that's correct. Hey, Wynn.
Rami, you never were a DJ, were you? Were you ever a DJ?
In an unofficial sense, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could feel it in your track, man. I could see you.
I feel honored.
All right. And who else?
Connie in Missouri.
Who's that in Missouri?
Connie.
Hi, Connie.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, all of you that are listening, we should give Connie a round of applause because she is the person that has been so diligent in doing transcripts for both Monday and Wednesday. And
thanks, Connie.
Thank you, Connie.
Send Connie
Thank
some
you,
love
Connie.
Because those of you who are getting are on our list, Connie
Yay.
Is a trooper. And who else?
Thanks, Connie.
Thank you, Connie.
Connie, are you feeling
Thank
any
you,
well?
Thank you, Terry and Daphne.
Feeling? Who's cats in the
Yeah, back? Let's have a round. Thank you, everybody.
Do you hear that cat in the background?
Yeah, he wants to know what line he's supposed to call in on.
Oh, there we go, Michael. There's Michael Adler in San Diego. With Sam.
Now, and Sam. Say hello, Michael. Sam.
Michael.
Thank you, Sam.
Does he talk that much when you're not on the phone?
Yes.
So he's just nonstop.
It's almost
right?
constant, and he has started speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
Like he actually said hello. Can you say hello, Sam? This would be a good time to do it, Sam. Can you say hello?
Michael, I'm so glad because your financial problems are over if you're speaking English.
So are his, yes, okay. I've been wondering what he's been doing with the allowance I've given him all these years.
Yeah.
So now would be a good time, yes.
You know, you don't have to worry about being an actor anymore.
I tried to borrow $20 from him, and he just looked at me. What?
You just have to have him learn a little Shakespeare.
Yeah. Sure.
And who else?
Okay, Sam. Okay.
All right. Shut
anyway.
Up, Sam. Okay, Michael. You've had your moment
well,
of glory.
I'm just going to let Sam do the talking. He seems to be the intelligent one between
okay.
us. So.
Well, I'm glad you said it, not me. Okay.
That was preemptive when I said it before you did.
There we go. Now, who else is on our line?
Tracy in West Virginia, Wynn.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Wynn.
How are you today?
Hi there.
I'm
doing better, thank you.
Your reputation's spreading all over the place, you know.
Uh-oh.
We heard about you. Okay.
You heard about me. Don't badmouth me on
Reggio. I won't say anything bad about you. I'll let you do it yourself.
Oh, I do. That's right. Tom's not as boxing that, is he?
I never thought I'd hear Michael say his cat was smarter than him. You know?
Well, he taught me everything I know, and it only took him a minute.
Michael has quite a good opinion of himself in general.
Yeah, I called in tonight about help with self-esteem.
Who else is on the line? Isn't anything?
This is Terry from West Virginia. Hi.
Hi, Terry. That's Terry Gal, right?
I'm sorry,
right.
I didn't hear it.
Terry Goff? Terry Goff?
Terry Pop.
Okay. And anyone else on the line? Okay. Well, obstacles and limitations. There's two kinds of obstacles and limitations. One that you're very aware of, and one that is beneath the surface, which you can still be aware of, and one that is beneath the surface and not aware of. I'll give you an example. One you're aware of is you can have an obstacle that says, how would you say it? All right. I believe certain kinds of people are inferior, okay? And that's a very easy one to fix because all you have to do is change your belief system, okay? You can have an that's easy because all you have to say, no, I don't think they're inferior. I think I'm convinced that they're not. That's a mental kind of limitation. It's a prejudice, so to speak. We all have prejudices. And some of them are a little unconscious, but we can become aware of them. And then you have obstacles that are beneath the surface, sometimes between from past lifetimes. Usually they have a very long time track. And we can have attitudes that are obstacles, like lack of self-esteem, lack of self-worth. We can have traumas that every time somebody says something, it triggers our trauma. Then we have obstacles underneath the surface that we're not aware of. One obstacle that sometimes people have is, this is a subtle one, being enslaved or enslaving other people. And maybe I shouldn't use the word slave. I should use the word dominating, okay? Controlling, needing to control people. Anyone know anyone like that? Somebody that just whenever you're around them, you're totally controlled and feel like, if you don't do it, they'll get mad at you, and they will get mad at you. Maybe you're that way sometimes. You're totally controlling. And what do you call that? Entitlement. And people just automatically assume people are going to treat them a certain way. Sometimes an interesting obstacle that people have, and most people that have this are not aware they have it, this is my take on it, is if you had a past lifetime, where you were aristocratic, where you were royal, where you were very wealthy, and everybody kind of paid homage to you because of either your money or your title. When you come into this lifetime, people tend, there's this feeling that people are going to treat you that way. But if you don't have the same recognition that you did that other lifetime, and so you can't understand why people are not treating you in an exalted way. Don't they know who I am? Now, a lot of times people that have that don't know they have it. And they're very frustrated because they're never getting what they would call the respect that they deserve. The respect that they deserve. So that's a big obstacle because they're totally stuck. They're looking around for their entire life for someone that's going to give them the respect they deserve, and their life becomes a throwaway. Who just came in on the line?
Me, Marcia.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi.
So you're fashionably late, right?
Mm-hmm. I was trying to fix my phone.
Don't get mad at me now.
I'm not mad. I'm having a rough time lately, that's all. Yeah. And you always hit the nail on the head and push my button, so it's a gift, right?
Well, luckily I don't know that I'm doing it. Okay.
So, I know you don't. I know it, we're just a grand design.
Right. I'm like programmed to like. I realized something about myself. I kind of read all the subconscious energies, and I'm always trying to bring energy into a situation. So sometimes I don't censor myself, and when something that's on the unconscious of somebody around me, and it immediately brings it to the surface. Usually people like it. Occasionally they get mad at me. You're not supposed to do that. You know, one of the things about these calls, here we are all talking about ourselves, and you know, most people are always trying to look good, and we're going to do our best to look bad during this call, so that everyone sees our obstacles, and so that we can get a hook. Does anyone have a really good obstacle they want to mention that they're aware of?
Sure. Yeah.
Is that Marcia?
Uh-huh.
Marcia, I wasn't going to call on you. Anyone besides Marcia?
Oh, good. Okay, don't call on me. It's okay. I'm too vulnerable anyway.
Jim has an obstacle.
What's your obstacle, Jim?
Life.
Life?
Ditto.
In other words, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Right? Why do I get up every day? What's it all about, Alfie? No one cares, right? Is that it?
Something like that.
Yeah, but Jim, you're an entertainer. Don't you love entertaining and you cheer people up and they look back at you?
Oh, very much.
Okay. So at least you have something, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyone else have an obstacle they want to talk about?
I have a temper.
You have a temper?
I have a temper.
Now, who is that?
It's Tracy.
You have a temper, Tracy.
I have a temper. It takes a lot to ire me, but whenever I get, I really am sorry and ashamed at how sometimes I get completely out of control with it. Yep.
Now, could you give us a demonstration of your temper right now?
You mean, can I? You don't want to see it? No.
No, we're not.
I'm very. I use mostly words, but I will cut people down to nothing with my words.
You will. Now,
yes.
is that really an obstacle or a personality distortion?
Well, I think it's an obstacle.
I mean, I have found sometimes. Now here's something
I have moved past breaking things, but still. That's bad.
You take your temper out on other people, right?
No. Well, no. Only the people that did it. Not on everybody.
Not on everybody. So people do things to you, and you feel cross, and then you get mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that anger is always in you, waiting to come out? Or do you think it's just coming forth because that person is such a rat?
I think that anger is always in me.
It's always in you. So you're carrying an anger with you. And, you know, people that have anger, I don't know, something I've learned about anger is, now, anger is not bad, okay? Anger has its place. I have noticed people who have leadership abilities, I noticed this a long time ago, people who have leadership abilities, they may not be expressing anger all the time, but if they're really good leaders, they have the threat of anger. You know if you cross, you would get it, okay? And the threat of anger has a value to it, okay? And even the even the expression of anger has a value to it, because when all else fails, it can cause someone else to, anger creates pain for another person. And it's kind of a safe way of inflicting pain without, you know, getting into a fist fight. And when something encroaching on your space, violating you, and all you're doing is saying, da 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 da. I had this experience. I was living in a house with this guy, and he was always yelling, and he would yell to get his way, and he used his yelling to intimidate people, and he did it for weeks and weeks, and one day I let it out at him. I did it on a very conscious level. It's not like I had to do it or I wanted to get back at him. I'm not going to do it. I raised my voice to him, and I was so intense. He thought I was going to kill him. Underneath, I was giggling at the whole thing. And you know what? He stopped yelling at me after that.
to you.
Wynn, Jim here, don't forget that anger and danger are only one letter apart.
Thank you, Jim. You know, a comment like that could only come from somebody that makes crossword puzzles. Jim is another notorious guy on our line who makes crossword puzzles for the New York Times.
Wow.
So anger and danger are one letter apart.
There we go.
Okay. So who else? Daphne, do you have any obstacles? Did you go back to playing Scrabble?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Do you have any obstacles?
Well, probably different levels of obstacles. One of them right now is learning how to maneuver in this body right now, because the energy field they're strangely contorted, or maybe they're contorting, and learning how to navigate them. The other thing is learning how to operate with very few physical resources in the world, especially when I always have been able to manifest plenty of physical resources in the world, and for some reason, I don't seem to be able to do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting how you started the call, because you somehow made the supposition, and I'm not sure if I quite agree with you on this. So I'll throw it out.
That's why you're here. You're here to be the person that doesn't agree.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to play devil's advocate, but you started the call basically juxtaposing spirituality and earthly concerns. And I don't necessarily think that they're antithetical. For example, I mean, I knew plenty of kids when I was in college who, I knew someone who went to Israel and went and joined a kibbutz. And she had, you know, deeply felt social and spiritual kind of feelings. And at the same time, she was pragmatic. She knew she had to, you know, make a living, and she worked on a farm. And I knew people that went and joined the Peace Corps. I knew people that became journalists. I knew people that, started their own businesses. And they were, I have a nephew, Max Berger, who is one of the, you've heard about the Occupy Wall Street movement. Well, Max was just on CNBC. You know, he's one of the lead voices. You know, he's 26 years old. And Max comes from an African family. I don't think having resources and having a social conscience and having spirituality are necessarily, they're not necessarily opposed to each other. There's nothing wrong with having resources. There's nothing wrong with being successful in the world.
Well, it's just a matter of how you relate. It's a matter of how you relate to it. If you're coming from a spiritual place, you will say, okay, I'm a spirit. I have all these tools to use. I happen to be affluent. How can I use them to contribute to the planet, to life, okay? Or you can have resources and say, I'm going to get more women. I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to go on TV and sit on top of my Rolls Royce with these two bikini ladies sitting on the hood with me and telling everybody, don't you want to be like me?
But Wynn, I think the reason you address that, and here's where I'm going to throw the ringer at you. I think you address that because that's been a temptation that you've had.
Good, Daphne.
the reason you knock success, it's because you know that you would be tempted to use it unwisely. That's what I'm going to throw out to you.
Now, I think that would have been in the past, because unlike everyone else, I didn't know I was a spirit. I just am in a body, and people that have lots of money seem to have more fun. So you know.
Well,
yes.
What did you say to me last week? You said that you were the Howard Stern of the Elohim, right?
No, you said that to me. I just quoted it back to you. But Daphne, it's nice to have you on the line.
I love it.
Daphne's going to keep me in my place, okay?
Fair is fair.
Fair is fair. I'm not complaining. You rest your case, okay?
I don't know.
Maybe I should promote myself that way. Howard Stern of the Elohim, at your service, okay?
Nah.
You know,
I'll give Daphne a pillow to rest her case on.
You know, I got a great Chinese fortune cookie about a week ago. It said, don't mistake temptation for opportunity. All right. So, anyone else want to contest their obstacle? Anyone have, like, a really deep-seated obstacle? Deep-seated.
I do. I'd like to express it.
Mm-hmm. That's Marcia.
Uh-huh.
Marcia, you can't talk.
Please, man.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. The obstacle that I wish that I could address is the fear of losing loved ones.
Fear of losing what?
Loved ones.
Fear of losing loved ones.
Animals, human, you know, loved ones.
Fear of being abandoned.
I don't know. It's just fear of them dying, of separation.
Well, loved ones are going into other places, and some of them are going to go probably into a better place than their life here. But really, I think the fear, we anchor our energies with people that we love. It helps anchor us in the world. We have invisible ties to all those people that help keep us sustained. So when they leave, either through dying or walking out on our lives, it's a little similar because you lose that tie and you feel abandoned. You know?
Oh, yeah, like when you have a stroke or something, you have to build new pathways in your brain, in your nervous system.
I mean, Daphne has had that. You know, she used to tell me that everybody that she knew would drop her. She had this thing that people would all drop her, okay? And she remembers this time when she was young. I don't know if I remember the story correctly, but actually people were holding her up in some kind of exercise when they dropped her. And is that true, Daphne?
I'm sorry.
When people were holding you up and they dropped you.
Oh, this is an interesting story. I was by my father to go to Andover. Because he'd gotten into Phillips Exeter and didn't go. So I, a good student, got into Phillips Andover and was going. So it's the oldest prep school in the United States.
Kathy, your voice is breaking up, kind of.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's better.
You know, I'm in a funky old farmhouse in New Hampshire with a bad cell phone. I'm sorry. And so we had to do orientation exercise where we climbed up on this really high rock, and it was called trust. And I was about 14 years old. You had to fall back into this group of people. There are about 15 people. Well, I was the smallest person, and I was the last person to go. And, you know, I got up there, and they go, oh, this is going to be really easy. You know, I was little, you know, 105 pounds or something. And I get up there, and I fell back, caught me, no problem. They didn't bother to wait until I got my legs back on the ground. And they dropped me from a height of about 3 feet, flat onto a rocky ground. Well,
the wind went completely out of my lungs, and it was a very scary experience. But I think the saddest part for me is that no one apologized. No one said, "Hey, we're sorry, we dropped you." I mean, this exercise was called trust, and symbolically, look at that. You know, here I am, this nasty, snobby, blue blood, elite girl. And the first thing I do is I'm dropped by my classmates. So, yeah, that's what happened.
Because they were on autopilot, and they didn't do it from integrity. They didn't do it consciously. They just did it because it was an exercise.
Exactly. You know, no one was present. You know, everyone was just kind of shunning responsibility. No one was like...
Nobody knew to open their hearts. Nobody knew to care. They were just autopiloters.
Right.
Why does it matter as much as where you go from here with that neuropath, those neuropathway programs? What do you do? How do you get rid of them? How do you disable them? How do you cut the trigger wire?
Right. You know,
I just want to move this along a little bit.
Thank you, Michael.
Good.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Well, I wanted to get, everything on the table, because when people talk and they talk about themselves, you can't talk about an obstacle in the place where you're in the obstacle. It's like I learned at one point, and I know this is true, observation. Observation is a key thing. When you can start observing yourself, when you know, I'm going to mute everybody because we're getting a little bit of background noise. Oh, wait, before I don't have to, hang on a second.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Terry, are you on?
Yes.
So
I'm here.
Should I skip you or do you want to talk about your obstacles? Or any obstacle?
I some work out of programming that if somebody gets really angry with me or yells at me or has a certain tone of voice, it just triggers me into my last life death where somebody got angry with me and did me in. And it's like I can sit there and listen to them, but my back starts to twitch.
Entry and exit times are off.
And it's like I'm just having to run that out bit by bit. I mean, just let it pass and observe it.
Well, one of the things you're doing with that particular obstacle is you're observing it really carefully. Like, I'm sure there was there was a period of your life where the pattern of that was on top of you, but you did not know what it was.
I have no idea.
And then at a certain point, you realized what it was, and you started to observe
gradually.
It. Observation is extremely powerful tool in overcoming any obstacle, because once you can identify it and look at it, the part of you that's looking at it while it's going on has got to be above the obstacle. And so you're separating yourself from the obstacle and looking at it, and over a period of time, that obstacle will go away. For example, for myself, I grew up with a father that was constantly rejecting me. And then I thought it was so unfair. I mean, I wanted him to like me. And no matter what I did, no matter what I accomplished, it was like I was never good enough. And, when I was younger, I walked around thinking that everybody was rejecting me. So you carry the energy and you project it out like part of your hologram, and everyone picks up the thought form. And in most cases, people will respond to the thought form. So if you're feeling you're being rejected, people will reject you. If you feel unworthy, people won't give you what you deserve. They'll always look at you in a kind of judgmental way in terms of being unworthy. So the world, then if you're following this on a negative way, you'll start thinking the world's a terrible place. Everybody hates me. And you don't really know that you're putting that out. All you know is that that seems to be the law that follows you. And this is how it works in this realm. Unless you come across somebody who is spiritual. Now, I hate to use the word spiritual because it doesn't mean... What I mean by spiritual is somebody that can see things above the level of how they present themselves. That's what I would call the beginnings of spirituality. That's not a universal definition, because even a negative person could have that potential and use that ability to manipulate other people. But somebody that can see you above where you're at and is willing to hold the space for who you really are, even when you keep projecting out something lesser than that, that person is going to be a person that you should follow, should hang around, be around them, because they're going to help you get over that particular thing in yourself. Someone that can see it, see above it, and doesn't get trapped by it, doesn't get hooked by it, because you're putting out a psychic field that causes people to get hooked into your stuff and respond to it. And even that happens with me. I mean, with certain people who, you know, I think that I can be supportive of them, and I know they need support. I know they're really alienated. And there's been a couple times when I've answered the phone, talked to the person, and eventually, guess what? They got mad at me because they started seeing me as if, and they kept thinking I was doing things that I wasn't doing. So it's very tricky to have the wisdom, the discernment, the wherewithal to know how you can actually help someone when you're able to see above them, through them, through their obstacles and through their weaknesses and through their limitations, and always focus on that part of them which is beyond that. And sometimes it means you have to limit your contact with that person, because if you don't limit it, you will get drawn into their projection. You can't help it. It would be, I've done this and some of you have done this, in a love relationship where you love somebody and you see them in a beautiful way, but as you try to connect and make a relationship, you find that you have to play their next karmic card. You have to be a person that they can be comfortable with. And in order to do that, you have to be something lesser than you were before. And if you get involved with that person and make a commitment and an ongoing relationship with them, before you know it, you'll say, where did I go? Where am I? I'm not present here. Something, I'm here and we have a connection, but who I really am is not present. And so then you either are going to spend the rest of your life that way, or you're going to figure a way how to get out of it. Now, it doesn't mean you have to leave the person, but it might mean you have to find other people to be your friends, to be your associates, who see the part of you that your partner can't see. And it's on a subtle psychic level. It's not even on a conscious acknowledgement level. Because when people have that with each other, when you really do have that, the energy sustains in the connection. And you can spend a lot of time, and the energy does not fall away. So, observation. First thing is knowing what your obstacles are. One way to figure out what your obstacles are is to reverse engineer and say, why does this keep happening to me in my life? Why do I keep attracting this same kind of situation, the same kind of relationship, the same kind of hostility from people? When you keep attracting something over and over again, then go look at what you're attracting and ask yourself, what am I putting out attracting this? Keep asking yourself that question until you get it. These are very important processes because, you know, some people that come into our group and hear that we're talking to the Elohim and they think, well, I'll just show up and everything will get better. And it doesn't work that way. Not that I've seen it, not with this group. The way it works is, and here is the key for working in this group and with these energies, is that when you create an intention, and your intention is positive, you get a lot of energy interdimensionally helping you carry out that intention. And that includes the intention to overcome an obstacle. And that is a huge, huge blessing that those of you who are paying attention to our work have access to, that can greatly speed up this process. This is what I've learned in observing myself, even observing Terry and Daphne. And observing those of you that keep coming to the calls and that are working through things. You know, some people come into our calls and they don't come back. And then maybe they come back a little later. One of the reasons they don't come back is because their level of pride doesn't want themselves to be seen in a group. They don't want their weaknesses to be seen. And when you can overcome that, and you're willing to say, okay, I'm just going to show up, and your weaknesses become visible, you now have a really fast track at working through your obstacles and your limitations. And you start building a support system of people that hold you in the highest possible view, vision, loving, and they don't judge you for your obstacles. And that is an environment that allows you to grow. That's why those of you that are taking a team shift have learned that coming into a call every day, calling in the light, putting your stuff in the light, that's exactly what you're applying. You're applying taking your limitations, putting your high intent out, getting assistance interdimensionally. And when I say assistance, it's so subtle because they are us, and you're reaching to the point where we are one with them and allowing that access of the higher part of yourself to come into the lower part of yourself. And it's most definitely not something that's taking over power for you. Now, I have just recently overcome an obstacle. You know, I have put up a website, and I'm telling everybody to look at it. And please look at it. Please make comments. There's a place where there's comments. Make comments, because that will encourage other people to look at it. But make them sincere comments. And I've had a huge obstacle, trying to figure out how to make a website. Now, I've made websites before. When my book came out, I made a website for the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And that was kind of easy. And then I started message a day. And that was a little bit of a jump. But I was inviting people to join my email list and tell them what we'd get. But I have not been willing, courageous, or not even known how to make a website that communicates what we're really doing to the public. And I feel like I did it. And I mean, it's been like something that's been in my mind. Well, what do I call it? How do I introduce it? What do I say that doesn't get people mad at me? What do I say that doesn't sound like I'm exalted and that gives the right portal for people? Now, part of the reason I knew how to do it is because I learned by paying attention to you how this has influenced you. And it's given me an incredible confidence in what I'm doing and that I know how to handle things when people ask them, are they hostile? It doesn't scare me to have people being hostile about this. In fact, it's fine with me. They're going to do what they do. And so go to the website and take a look. You'll see what I've done. Intelligent-infinity.com. Intelligent-infinity.com. And, you know, I remember I had a dream reading some years ago. You know, I got all these little messages in my dreams. And I think it's the Ra group working with me, looking at what I'm doing and giving me, they never tell me what to do, but they give me these little wise statements that this was happening. It happened, if you read the Creator God book, it started happening when I was first with Daphne in 2002. And I asked them, I said, I know I exist in other dimensions. I've got all these synchronicities. How do I connect with the parts of me that are in other dimensions? And they said, write your dreams down. Well, that night I put a pad by my bed. I'd wake up and I'd start writing my dreams down. And when in the morning I was expecting to read dreams, and instead there were verbal messages there. And there were these little wise things like, and now at the time this was happening, it was like I was just to give you my frame of mind. I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. David and I were always cantankerous about that. He was scared to have it out, but he knew the value of it, and he liked my concept. And I didn't know I'd ever get a publisher for it. I mean, I worked 3 years for something, and I didn't know I could write a book and anyone would ever read it. I didn't have much money. I ended up with Daphne, and I said, uh-oh, how am I going to do this? You know, it was a totally wild kind of impulsive thing on both of our parts. And now I'm with Daphne, and now this voice comes through her and starts talking to me. And she's freaking out all the time and having panic attacks, and I didn't even understand it. I mean, I'm giving you like the scenario, and then I asked them, how am I supposed to connect with the parts of me that live in other dimensions? And they said, write your dreams down. And that night I put a pad, and in the morning when I looked at the pad, I had sentences like, it's the insanity of passion that makes things happen in the real world. Through your dedication to love, serve, and care, the negativity goes away. Communication from another dimension, just like Cayce, he slept to connect with this dimension. And that's been happening on and off ever since, where if I put a pad, I get those messages. Now, I've told other people to do this, and someday I should do a little workshop on it, because I believe that that can be available to lots of you. And it's not easy to do it, because it's kind of like you have to go into this. There were times when I went to bed with a pad next to the bed and a pen in my hand, and I left the light on all night, because the way the message comes in, it's not like there's this big thunderous voice that says, here's a message. It's kind of like you're in this twilight zone, and you don't want to bother. It's like you have to, I had to force myself to write things down. And then I would get into a zone where I could just keep it coming, keep it coming, keep it coming. But then if I don't do it for a while, I have to get into the zone again. And sometimes I'll still, I'll go to bed with a pad and a pen in my hand and leave a light on all night because I know I'll miss it. But the one that relates to what I'm talking about on the website was the message that said, don't be less than you are and don't be more than you are. And that one was really a good one for me because I was trying to present myself less than I was. I mean, I'm an author. I'm not an author. I do that, but I am not an author. But it's easy. It's an easy way of expressing yourself into the world that people give you kind of respect, or I think you can get what I mean. And that's another way of helping yourself with your obstacles. Tap into your high self and you know, if you're on these lines, you're tapped into the energies. And if you're tapped into the energy, it's a good chance you can get the messages. And you don't go on a big ego trip and say, well, I'm getting messages. Ra's talking to me. Get messages, and if they have wisdom that helps you trigger yourself and move through obstacles, then you'll be doing something great for yourself. It's not the novelty of getting messages. It's the access to the wisdom that can look at you from a higher level and give you the keys to get over your obstacles. And let me see what time it is. 6:57. We can run over tonight. I had a couple of emails come in. I'm going to read them, and then I think we'll turn it over to Terry and see how our sources address this whole issue. And thank you all so much for coming to the plate and talking about it and putting your frequencies in here. Let me see here. We have Daniel Davis, who says, how does one overcome the block of defeating oneself by thinking, I know this won't work. It works for everyone else but me. And I mean, I can relate to that one. I had that one for a long time, okay? How does one overcome the block of defeating oneself? And Dan, that's a good question. Thank you.
You're a little blurry.
Okay, how does one overcome the block of defeating oneself by thinking, I know this won't work. It works for everyone but me. Get it?
Okay.
Terry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
Did you get it?
Yeah. Got it.
And let me see. We can go over tonight a little bit, okay? Because there's no, apparently Don has a show every other week. So this is from Michael Adler, who finally told us his cat was smarter than him. And he sent in the email, another good question. How do we change habits that exist in a portion of ourselves we aren't conscious of or have ready access to? I've been told that many addictions, food, drugs, sex, have the trigger point in our complementary gender energy. For example, an addiction might be in a man's female side or for a woman on her male side, which isn't readily accessible. I don't know. This is not going to be like a Sunday call where we just take all these questions and answer them linearly. I'm just, you know, everyone's talked a little bit about some of their issues, and these are some of the issues that that people sent me emails about, which I invited them to do. So, on that note, we're going to bring in the light and we are going to let our sources address us on this topic of obstacles and limitations and make their comments on all the things we've been talking about. And
I want to make sure that I've got their questions. Michael, could you...
A little bit of Michael's question to them? Michael's question was, how do we change habits that exist in a portion of ourselves and we aren't conscious of or have ready access to? Okay? It's kind of what I was saying, that we have patterns in our subconscious, unconscious, in our track, in our whatever. And how do we work with those when we don't have conscious access to those levels? Okay?
And what was the other one?
And the other one was from Daniel Davis. How does one overcome the block of defeating oneself by thinking, I know this won't work, it works for everyone but me? Okay? You know, I wanted to make one of my comments to that, something that I learned. There was a book that came out years ago, and it was by a guy by the name of Robert Ringer. And let me see if I can remember this. The creation of a positive outcome by the formulation of a negative postulate. Now, I bet you didn't understand that. I'll say it again. The creation of a positive outcome by the formulation of a negative postulate. What's a negative postulate? Thinking, I know this won't work. Okay, that's a negative postulate. How do you use that to have a positive outcome? All right? Well, this guy had a brilliant view of that particular thing. And what he said was, it's true. Most things don't work. So don't approach anything as if it's going to work. But realize, if you do enough things, one of them will work, and you'll succeed. So how would you turn that into practical action? Okay, you're thinking you want a life partner, and you meet somebody, somebody comes into your field that you like, and immediately you put all that pressure out, this is going to work. And it doesn't work, and then you go home and lick your wounds and say, reject it again. Well, by using this guy's little saying, you would say, okay, I'm going to go out on dates for the next 2 weeks every other night, and I don't care whether it's going to work or not. In fact, most of them probably won't. But if I go out every 2 weeks, I might find a good chance one of them might work. And particularly salespeople, it's a very good adage for salespeople, realizing that if you're going to sell something, in most cases, you have to go through a few people before somebody wants to buy what you have. And so when you put out the thought that I know this will work, see, there's this idea of having a positive attitude and, you know, positive affirmations. And this is like kind of another way of looking at it. It says, why don't I just do things with neutrality and not care whether they work or not, but just know that if I do enough of them, chances are something will work and I'll get what I want. And I thought that's a very brilliant thing, because I certainly have done that. I mean, I go into something and I have all this positive, I try to pump myself up, and then, you know, it doesn't work. And then I say, okay, it's not going to work. Well, most things don't work. But if you understand the way the world works, you'll know that if you do 10 things or 20 things or 100 things, one of them will work. And the one that works will change your life. So why do you not want to do that? Because you don't want to get rejected 100 times, right? So now, instead of worrying about getting rejected, you realize that every no is a step to a yes. And you need to get 50 no's. You know, there was a sales technique that said, every time I get 50 no's, I'm going to go have an ice cream sundae. And you can try it like that. You can kind of like play with your own consciousness and give yourself a reward for things not working, but for that you're putting yourself out there. And one thing that I have learned is that when you get the thing that works, it's always a total bloody surprise. It's like, I used to think it had to do with my charisma of the moment. You know, I used to try to find little, superstitious ways of figuring it out. And it never happened that way. It was always a total surprise. It was like, even from someone that I thought would say no, and then suddenly they're saying, yes, it's working. So the key is to keep getting no's until it works, and make the no's a positive, so that every no is a step towards your ice cream sundae. Okay? Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
So did you get that?
Yeah.
Well, we're running over. It's 7:05. And let me just see something.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Are you guys, want to stay around a little longer and hear what our sources say?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Just making sure. Daphne, are you there?
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light, highest realms of light, that's Daphne's direction, and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we invite our sources, speaking through Terry, to address this topic of overcoming obstacles and limitations. Thank you.
We reach out and are available to touch each and every person there on the line. This is Ra'at, which is a division of the Elohim and the division of Ra that is ready on standby and waiting to make connection and nonlinear. We are there with each and every one of you, and we are your biggest champions. We are rooting for you. So if you have something that you are trying to put into light, you have something that you're trying to accomplish that is on your path and is for the highest good, as you feel it, as you have set it out for yourself, then we are there championing your cause, and we add our own intention. We are there for even big, huge things. For instance, if there is an earthquake in the offing, we are there to be asking to help to moderate it, to work with all of the forces in the elements, to recombine them and to set them forth that it will come out into a different outcome. Therefore, when we see there is something that you are working towards and you feel that you absolutely cannot do it and it won't happen for you, if you keep putting it in the light, then there will be a huge, big divergence between what you are putting there that you can do and what you feel you can't do. And all things start like that. And the way they start with a lie, they start with a lie that there is a creativeness that can bring that dream into manifestation, into the manifest realm, into the third density, into your life. And you can change, you can modify to the point where bit by bit you will be able to do it. If you take it and gradient so that you work with just a little bit of a corner of something concerning it that you think you might be able to do, to print a flyer and to pass it out, even though you think that people won't read it, people won't answer you, to put a note on the board at the local health food store, handyman available, knows how to set up a fence. You start to put it into the manifest reality. Musician will be able to play for you at different events. And though you might not think that anyone will answer, somebody will read it. And eventually, building little building block by little building block, you start to put together a track that maybe you can do it. Maybe you could do this. You could do that one part of it, and you could do this other part of it, and you build a fence, or you play a piece before the church. Church needs a pianist. Little things that you might be able to contribute. To talk to people, go to groups, get in conversations, into blogs, and see what people are saying and expand your base of people that you know and what they need. Take a look at what people need in the area of what you think you can't do but think you want to do, and see what people are actually doing that, and talk to them and say, how did you ever get so that you could do that? You know, what did you go through in order to be able to have that job? How did you connect with your employer? How did you meet that great girl that's your wife? And find out more. Get familiar with something, because as you get familiar with something, you lay down a track, an energy track that begins to connect you with that thing that you think you can't do. But when you get the energy track all laid down, it's like a railroad track. Then you can drive the train on it. Now, the other question is about the, give us a moment. When you have a portion of yourself that is unconscious to the habit that you have formed, and you don't know about it, how can you even know about it, or even know that you're running into a problem that you don't even know that you have? We would have to guess that if you find out more about yourself, then it will reveal open doors to other aspects of yourself that you didn't even know about, or you didn't even know why. Like, most of you do not remember what happened before you were born. Some of you do. But there was a whole lot of things that happened before you were born And many of these things have been relegated into the subconscious. And you all got programmed and you are working out things concerning that that you may not even know all the parameters of what you are working through. So how do you find out about this? One of the things is you can actually observe other people really critically and with discernment. Like, do they really think that you're, like in, say, Terry's case, do they really think that she's a mess up like her parents seem to think? Do people really think that? And so, you know, look at them, and then as you look at them, you see them interacting. They don't even know you're across the table. They don't even know you're across the room. It hasn't even registered with them yet. So if you compare things that you're thinking to the reality that you see and observe around you, you can begin to sense discrepancies. So discrepancy is the key. When you see in your life some kind of a discrepancy between what you're thinking and what you think other people think of you, you begin to check out your own sense of ideas, your own analysis of things. Check it out with what's going on around you and what other people have going on, and see if you can notice discrepancies. Sometimes if you get a reading, you can begin to have things shown to you that point out patterns that you might not have been aware of. Once you become aware of something, you can begin to work on it and can begin to have something to dig into there in reality that you can then begin to work with. Those are our thoughts in that area.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you for coming forth and sharing your wisdom. And 7:18, and we're going to bring this call to a close. And I just want to say once more, take a look at our website and pass it around. I think I finally put up a website that you can show it to somebody, and they may connect with our work. And whether they do or they don't, it's okay. It's another one of those things. Some people don't want to be rejected. That's why the work is reaching them, and they're afraid maybe other people will judge them for it. So, on the other hand, if you send the website to 5 people, and one of those people ends up changing their life path because they connect with our work, which I know people are doing, don't worry about the other 4 people. Just it's not for them. But this is a good way to do it. And it starts out with a video. Watch the video and think how your friends might respond to it. Because it will tell you it's a very simple act to send that out. But if somebody gets involved and they start changing their path and you meet them on these calls, you're going to get so many blessings of gratitude from doing that, that it will change you. I think Neil Donald Walsh said in one of his books that you can't change anyone without it changing yourself. You can't do it. That's part of the law of one. So if you make somebody laugh, it makes you happy. If you change somebody's life because you sent an email out, you changed your life as well. So the website is intelligent-infinity.com,
intelligent-infinity.com. And I thank you all for being here. Again, thanks to all the volunteers, Daphne, Terry, and we'll see you Wednesday when we answer your questions.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
And everybody's unmuted. We'll see you later.
Bye, Wynn.
Thank you. Good night, Wynn. Good night, Terry. Good night, Daphne.
Good night, everybody.